Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to listeners to Tun Radio Islam International. Yes, sir, we welcome you once again to the program, the car program, inshallah, the Rabitaf car program. Call us for your questions, inshallah, on the number to call. It's 011-854-1548. And the SMS number is 0825-880-8070. And yes, the WhatsApp number is 0727861548. 0727861548. We're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. Let's welcome Abdul Haq on the program. Abdul Haq, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakum Allahu khairan, Mawlana, once again for the opportunity. Alhamdulillah, we've got an opportunity 2 weeks later. But alhamdulillah, it's nice talking to you again.
Jazakum Allah. Yes, tonight might be the last program before the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, we'll continue after the month of Ramadan with the car program. All right, we're waiting for the calls. Line
for the good news, Mawlana.
Line number two, we have brother Adil. Adil is on the line. Adil, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and to all of you and to all our listeners. Alhamdulillah, we're ready for all the questions. Like you said, most of we teach the last Friday, and next week will be Ramadan, inshallah, and Ramadan Mubarak to all our listeners out there also.
Amen, inshallah, we might be standing for Taraweeh next week, inshallah, this time. Allah make it easy, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept, inshallah. Ameen. Adil, the question coming through is regarding the types of the coolant sensors. How many coolant sensors are there, and what is the function?
So, most of the coolant sensors, normally there's one for the coolant to tell you how much coolant is in the radiator or in the cooling system of the vehicle. The other coolant sensor is not actually a coolant sensor. It will actually be a temperature sensor to tell you how hot the coolant is in the engine. So basically, there are two main functions of the two sensors that you can name in the vehicle. So one would be the amount of coolant, the sensor for the amount of coolant in the cooling system, and the other sensor will be how hot the temperature is in the cooling system. So either they can be incorporated in one or they can be two separate ones.
Okay. Abdul Haq, the question coming through, my brother. The brother says he's got some problems in bleeding his ABS brake system. Would like to maybe help him, inshallah, how to tell him how to open up and how to replace the components, like, for example, the calipers, the wheel cylinders, master cylinders, and the brake lines.
See, a very nice question. On some of the vehicles, that the old ABS system, where you could still really bleed the ABS manually by yourself, by just manually pumping the system up, and obviously you start from the, like we said it many times before, you would obviously locate the master cylinder in the engine compartment, and that would normally be just in front of the brake pedal. On all the BMWs, it was obviously on the left hand side, and most of the right hand drives, it's on the right hand side. The reservoir where you pour the brake fluid in, and you would locate the wheel, obviously the furthest wheel from there would be the left rear wheel, and you would start bleeding the system from the left rear. Obviously, you've got to pump it up, make sure there is sufficient fluid in the braking system, as well as in the reservoir. You would then obviously pump it up and hold the pedal down, so you get the clean brake fluid coming through, and then obviously you move to the next wheel. There are sort of cheap tools on the market for self-bleeding, the brake system. And that would be also rather advisable if you're just alone, or if you're two people, you can be assisted. But whenever you do this, make sure that the brake fluid reservoir is always full of brake fluid. And coming to the newer vehicles, unfortunately, you're going to need equipment. I think I stand to correction that some of the ABS systems nowadays, you will need the diagnostic tool that has the facility that will assist you in bleeding the ABS system, because you can't just go mess around with that system. It's an expensive system, and it has a rather, a different way of bleeding the system.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Adil, a question, my brother, regarding the ball joints. What is the function of the ball joints, and what does it connect, Adil? How does it work with the control arms?
So the ball joint is connected to the control arms in the vehicle, which actually rotates the wheel from left to right. So you have the ball joint, which can have upper movement and lower movement, even side-to-side movement. So there are a few ball joints. Sometimes ball joints are connected to the control arms, upper control arm, the lower control arm, and sometimes to the stub axle, where you can actually turn the wheel from left to right. So the ball joint actually allows the wheel to turn, to move from left to right. Ball joint should be checked regularly. It's an important factor in a motor vehicle. if a boson can snap or break, it can be a bit disastrous because you can go in one direction, the car go in another direction. So it should be checked. So basically the main function of the ball joint is to put movement on the control arm, so you have flexibility of the arm, so you can move up and down without snapping.
Are there any wear indicator pins to say, you know, the ball joints are going now, you've got to change them? Any sign, any indications regarding the ball joints, Adil?
See, the most important thing, most of them, to all our listeners, to take heed. Then once you start start hearing any noises coming from your vehicle, especially when going over bumps and when turning the vehicle left to right, it will normally be like a rattling noise or a clunking noise or even a squeaking noise. The squeaking noise when you turn the vehicle from left to right, it's common on an E-Class Mercedes. So if you stop and you start turning the vehicle from left to right, you look like a screeching, squeaking noise coming from the wheels. That's a sign that your ball joints are worn out. On normal other cars, and mostly when going over bumps, you hear the rattling noise or knocking noise coming from the front wheels. Mostly ball joints are on the front wheels. Maybe some four-wheel drive, four-wheel steering, you'll get ball joints in the rear wheels, but mostly on front wheels. So mostly to listen out for any noise coming from the front suspension. The important thing for all this is also to keep in mind, most of you drive in your vehicle and you know how your vehicle sounds, if you hear any unusual sounds coming from the vehicle, make it a point to have it checked out. Don't leave it too long, because when you're going to leave something on a suspension, for example, if a lower control arm starts wearing out and you start leaving it, then that control arm will actually put stress on other control arms, because you must know the suspension wears out, and when the suspension component starts wearing out, you can put stress on other suspension components. So basically if the ball joint wears out, then you're going to put more stress because the steering is going to be more difficult to turn, and you're going to start wearing control arm push out. So what could that cost you? $1,000 is going to cost you not more than $1,000, because you're not taking heed of the noise. So even if you think it's not a serious noise, just have it checked out and you've got peace of mind, and the mechanic will advise you it's not important or it's important.
Okay, Jazakumullah.
See, Marana, I can just come in here. Unfortunately, talking about the ball joint, about 3 weeks ago, I had an incident with the ball joint on my vehicle. And, you know, like Brother Adil says, you must listen for noises and stuff like that. This was rather unusual and rare. I had a look at it before I left. And, alhamdulillah, everything was looking in order. There was no play in the system, nothing whatsoever. And unfortunately, this is not something that happens all the time. It's a very, very rare occurrence. I was right in the middle of the Kruger National Park, and my ball joint popped.
Oh.
And believe you me, alhamdulillah, we were traveling on a gravel road, which allowed the wheel to obviously turn the wrong way and skid along. So it wasn't any serious matter. But at high speed, you can actually flip your vehicle with something like that.
Mm.
So,
did you have any signs that the world ball joints going, Abdul Haq?
Sorry, Mark.
Any signs that, you know what, the ball joints are?
Unfortunately, in this instance, there was no sign whatsoever. Because prior to leaving here, I actually had a look at everything just to make sure. But what happened, I think maybe an unusual bump on the gravel road or something like that, and continued driving on gravel road, obviously, had deteriorated the thing, or for some unknown reason, it's a ball socket joint. That's what it is, basically, a ball socket joint. And the ball pulled out of the socket. That's what basically happened on this one. It didn't break off, it just pulled out of the socket.
Did you change the ball joint before? Was it replaced before? Was it the original ball joint?
Yeah, no, I put a ball joint before.
Oh, you replaced the ball joint?
I replaced the ball joint.
And the part you used to replace it with?
You only get a generic one, that you won't get a genuine one now.
But what make was it? Was it SABC? What also important to remember for all the listeners or the also technicians out there, whenever replacing a suspension part, make sure it's SABS approved.
So yeah, part code SABS approved.
And it's been rigorously tested and put to his test. You know why? Because I find it straight, Abdullah, a serious thing, because he doesn't give you a sign, a ball and a steps like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a serious thing, because you know,
rather Jewish ball joint. That's what I say.
You don't got a sign of it wearing out, and you check it before you went. That's what scares me. So, you know,
I'm just coming in there again. What has happened to me, and this happens all the time, you know, when I'm driving, especially at high speeds, I tend to slow down knowing what the abilities and the capabilities and the repercussions could be of a vehicle. And this is something that really opened my eyes, that speeding, yes, you can find out this is how speed kills. And unfortunately, I wouldn't say, I can't blame the manufacturer of the component or whatever, but it could have been, you know, something along those lines that created this issue. And it was rather unfortunate. And that is why I'm bringing to the notice that even though it wasn't Goedkoop and Dierkoop, but sometimes these things do happen.
Hmm.
Alhamdulillah, you're okay and the family is okay.
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakumallah. All right, we continue, inshallah. Number to call is 011-854. You guys are getting me scared here. Anyway, I have a problem with one of the buckies driving as well on gravel, Adil. You hear that bit of noise on the front steering wheel. I had, I think the control arms changed, but the noise still persists.
You still got the same noise.
Gee, normally when you hit a bump, you know, on gravel, you hear the noises quite a bit.
Gee, well, no, you see, the other thing is, remember, some vehicles have one ball joint, some have two. You get an upper, you get a lower lower ball joint. And looking at all the ball joints, you don't look at one particular ball joint at the bottom or whatever. And as Adil says, you know, you've got to rigorously test the thing and double check it all the time. There are ways that you can actually check it and you even feel it, you know. So it's very, very important that it be checked regularly and properly. And if there is any doubt whatsoever, the other suggestion I have is to replace it.
Okay.
There are people out there that do something that we call reconditioning. All they do is they're pumping some sort of Teflon in that,
yeah,
and don't even think about doing it that way. I strongly suggest against reconditioning a ball joint, because something that is worn is for, you know, like you've got to replace it. You can't go and do anything about it.
Okay. Let's continue, inshallah. Number to call 854-1548, SMS 0825-8080-70. We're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. I've got a question on the ball joints, my brother. Are the, you know, are some ball joints attached to the control arm with the rivets? Are they permanently attached to the rim? So in other words, you know, when we've got to change it, the whole control arm's got to come out and you've got to change the entire system there.
There are three different basic sort of ways in which these ball joints are attached to your control arm. Some of them are attached to the control arm in such a way that you've got to replace the control arm, because the ball socket joint is actually manufactured as part of the control arm. Like, for example, if you look at the E-class Benz, if you look at the S-class Benz, where you've got the aluminium arm, that control arm, that ball joint is built into that. You can do nothing about it. You've got to replace the arm. Whereas you take the same bins, and if you look at the one that's on the stub axle, that is press fitted. So you make sure that you get another one that needs to be press fitted as well, so you can replace the ball joint only there. Then you get the third type, you get the fourth type as well. The third type you get is where it's actually held onto the control arm with a circlip. You know, so that also very, very important to make sure that that's fitted correctly and the circlip is sitting snug in the actual groove that is there for it. And then the fourth type you get, like you used to get in the old Golfs and things like that, the ball joint used to attach to the control arm with three bolts. And make sure those bolts are tight and tightened properly and correctly.
Okay.
So this is the four different ways. One is press fit, one is permanent fit, the other is circle fitted, and the other one is bolted on.
All right, Jazakumallah. 23 minutes past 8 o'clock, we have three callers on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Line number one, G.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hello.
G, my brother, I can hear you loud and clear.
I want to find out about Honda 160i.
Yeah.
Done only 110,000 Ks, 99 model.
It's only done 10,000 kilos.
I'm sorry, 110.
Oh, Uncle G.
G. And what is market value? And,
what's the model?
99 model.
1999. What are you expecting for it, Uncle?
I'm expecting about 50,000.
50?
G50.
You see, if somebody looking for a very low kilo car, normally they're selling for about 32,000 rands plus, minus a little bit more, a little bit less. But looking at the kilos on the car, it's 100 kilos, 100,000 kilos. I think, inshallah, 40 you should get for it, Uncle. 40 plus.
No, guys, I want to buy one.
Oh, you want to buy one?
Yeah, and it's a very, very clean car.
And they want 50 for it.
50,000 rands.
Okay, I'll hear on the radio, please.
G, okay, my brother.
And hello.
Hello, G.
I want to know how their car is, because I believe they say it's a very nice car.
They are nice cars.
Okay, I want to hear on the radio.
All right, JazakAllah, Uncle. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Adil, what's your take on this, my brother? 1999 model, has got 100,000 kilos on the clock, 160i, immaculate condition, 50 grand. Is it a buy or not? Is it a bit too much? Would you say 40 is fair?
I think they're asking the price because of the low kilometers.
They're asking the full price, G.
So in that case, the car is spotlessly clean. It's worth a buy myself. The excellent cars, Abdullah could vouch for me on that one. They're very economical to maintain. They last forever. The engines are excellent on those cars. They don't really give you any trouble. I think the only issue that car has is it's 9 and has a sticky thermostat, which can cause a problem if neglected. And on that car also, the common problem when we're talking about is the ball joint. That should be checked also. There's another common issue on those cars. But the rest of the car, alhamdulillah, they're good cars. They give you good service. And it's a very reliable car. So inshallah, with that in mind, the brother can say bismillah. He can make his istikhara namaz. He made his mashwara now. And he can go for it. I mean, he's paying the price because of the mileage, I think, yeah.
See, Mona Maaf, I can just add one more thing, the brother. The other common problem on the Hondas is the radiator cap. The little piece inside that pops. And they're a little bit expensive at the agents, but unfortunately, if you put one non-genuine radiator cap on that, it's not really going to help you much. So if the radiator cap should be also checked regularly, and if replaced, should be replaced with a genuine one, because the non-genuine one, tried and checked and whatever, unfortunately, it is not as effective as the genuine one.
All right. Line number two, we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Shukran, Malana, I just want to find out, there's a Corolla that's for sale, it's a 2005, it's a 180i GFX.
Okay.
It's less than 172,000.
And what's the mileage on the car?
200,000. There's only two problems on the car, Malana. It's got a slight leak in the boat, and the lights are a bit faded, and I find the gears are a bit sticky.
He wants, what it is, 72,000 rands.
Yes.
See, my brother, I think you're paying full price for it, eh? It's not a good, I mean, it's not a bargain, it's not, I won't say it's a cheap price, you're paying full price for it, 2005. I don't know.
Yes.
And maybe the
brother. GSA, I mean, Corolla GSX.
GSX.
180i.
Will you prefer the 180i's or the 160i's?
I'm not sure. That's why I'm asking. Which one would be better?
All right, let's ask Brother Ali and Abdul Hajji.
Maha, can I just come in there?
Yeah.
The brother said there's water or something leaking into the boot.
Yeah.
If the rubbers are not damaged, that's a bit of a concern. Why is it not aligned and why is it leaking, firstly? Secondly, the other thing, personal preference, when coming to the 180 and the 160, I find the 160 to be a much better vehicle. You know, as far as economy is concerned and power wise as well, if you look at it, there isn't that much of a difference between the 160 and the 180.
Yeah. So, my brother, inshallah, it's your choice. Make mashallah with other people as well, other car dealers. And,
one more question I want to please find out.
Yeah.
There's a Golf TDI. Somebody wants to sell it, but what happens in the morning, it starts one shot, but when it gets hot, it drags, it doesn't start immediately. You have to turn the key about 4-5 times before it can start.
Okay, interesting question regarding diesel. Adil.
You've got a problem with the injectors there, Mustaf. It's not starting when the car's hot. Probably the injectors are dripping when they're hot, so it's not giving the full boost of the injector. So the injector should be checked on the car. And other, I suspect it's injectors. I'm not saying 100% is the injectors, but the necessary test should be done. It's not a difficult problem. Basically, plug a diagnostic tool on there. You can have it checked out in that way, and you can plug this fuel pressure gauge on there to check the fuel pressure when the car's hot, and the problem should be solved. It either could be an injector leaking or one of the sensors that are faulty when the car gets hot. Normally, when cars are cold, the engine basically heat. Actually expand the engine, so whatever is making contact will no longer make contact. So when the car is cold, it makes contact. So maybe a sensor or a leaky injector. And normally, on that car, a leaky injector could be the issue. And coming back to the Corolla, the brother wants to buy, he must just make sure before he buys that car, because water leaking into the boat is not a good sign. So maybe the car could have been in an accident in the back,
yeah.
And that's what's causing the water to leak into the boot, because normally cars that are foolproof and it don't normally leak water into the boot. And the lights fading in the front of the car, and that's the thing, that the car hasn't been taken good care of. It's always passing the sun normally eats up it plastic in the sun. So basically, I think for 72,000 and for the mileage, I think it is a bit high, and they're asking a bit too much. The reason why they're asking, because it's a Corolla, and people normally put value to Corolla.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially our people, you know, they like to put the price. I do the thing, everybody wants to buy a Corolla. But you made your mashwara, and I think made istikhara, and then the Toyota, the leaking boot story, I'm not very impressed about that, because, you know, a leaking boot causes a small problem there. To fix a leaking boot also can be a bit of a challenge. But maybe it could be something small, maybe only a boot rub or something.
I'll say about 60,000 is a buyer, not 72, about 60, 62
is a buyer. 72, I think, is a buyer. Around 60, right, so I think that would be fair.
Yeah, just have a mashwara, inshallah. But like we say, take mashwara from somebody else. Ask other people as well, inshallah, and see what they have to say. Allah keep a barakat, my brother. Make istikhara as well. And yes, your decision. Line number 3, we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I've got the Opel Corsa 140i.
Yeah.
It's always in high rev when I'm driving. And when I press the accelerator, the rev goes off and again it comes on.
Okay. All right. Isn't there maybe a rat stuck in the engine somewhere, Ba?
Yeah, Afid Abdullah is a pretending rat.
Abdulhaq, gee. All right, Abdulhaq will respond to your question. Abdulhaq,
I just wanted to know Appa's last bit. I didn't get you. What happens when she presses the accelerator?
Then the rev goes off. Then it comes back again.
Sorry?
The rev goes on and comes back again.
Yeah, the manual car switching off and then you start it again.
No, I don't do that. Then? I just rev it. I just put the leg on the accelerator, then it finishes off again, it comes back.
So then it goes down and then it comes up again.
Yeah.
So you've got a bounce on your revving. Basically, it's bouncing from high rev. When you accelerate, it goes down. And when you leave the accelerator, it goes up again.
Gee.
All right.
That's what I was normally doing on the Kalami racetrack, but not on the normal roads. Tati Abdulhaq, what's your response, my brother?
See, Murana. As far as the Opel Corsa Bucky is concerned, you've got two sensors on the accelerator throttle housing. But before I tackle those sensors, what I would prefer is 9 out of 10 times we have success when we remove the accelerator throttle housing and we get a good cleanup and servicing, so you get a true reading on the sensors itself. Because what happens is you do get sometimes grime that collects on the butterfly. So
what about the throttle body sensor, Adil Abdulhaq?
Gee?
The throttle body sensor, no?
Yeah, the accelerator throttle housing, the body sensor. What happens is if it does collect some sort of grime on it, and then it tends to misread, and that is what happens most of the time. If once that is cleaned up and the problem still occurs, then I would suggest you put it on the diagnostics, and there are two sensors on that particular housing. So just make sure that you change the correct one. It's normally the one that is closer to the firewall. That was the one that always gives the problem.
Okay, Appa, are you there, Salapa?
Yes.
Okay. Any other question we have regarding the Opel Corsa? Then lovely cars as well, light and petrol. But just check it up, inshallah.
Okay, and JazakAllah for my BM last time, he told me that I must change the whole kit for the brake was...
Gee.
The thing, since 2 years now, I've got no problem. I should only change the rubber now. I don't have a problem with that.
Alhamdulillah, Pa. JazakAllah. Allah give you barakah.
Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mulana, can I just come in there?
Can we just take another call, Abdul Haq?
No problem, Mulana.
And inshallah, line number 4, Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my brother. Gee.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I'm live, right?
Gee?
I'm on.
Gee, you're alive.
Okay. Okay, I just want to find out something, if it's need for concern or not.
Yeah.
It's only just happening a couple of days now. When we start the car, it's hard to change the gear. It's sometimes it will just, if you put it into reverse, it will just get stuck in reverse. It will be hard to change. Then my father was telling me that, it's alpha, right? It's alpha. So, you seem it takes time before the gearbox gets warm. Is that true or is it a concern?
You know what is the easiest way to solve the problem, my brother?
Yeah.
See, just drop the gearbox, 3 tablespoons of ghee, your problem is sorted out.
No, wait, listen, yeah. Master, it does get stuck, shifting gears, in the morning. And then after a while, maybe after 2-3 minutes, then it's fine again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adil?
Yeah, what car is, brother? Alpha.
Alpha.
Oh.
Alpha Romeo, Giulietta.
No, man, it's a Twin Spark.
Twin Spark.
2-liter Twin Spark, yeah.
Yeah, the gearbox is in the rear of the car, right?
The gearbox is on the rear. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, on those cars, the common thing to check is you must check the oil level. Is the oil level correct in the gearbox? And you got the right gearbox oil in there.
Okay.
That's the first thing you should check. The second thing you should check is check the clutch on the car. if the clutch is okay.
Clutch is
if those things are okay on the Alfa Romeos, the gearbox in the rear is a modification that you can do on the gearbox. It will select the gear easier. But it's not necessary if you know how to wiggle the car in. So if the car is getting hot and then the car is going into gear, then if it's something you want to leverage, you can leverage it or you can do the modification. But the main thing is let your technician check the gearbox oil. The gearbox oil could be low or the wrong gearbox oil could be in the vehicle, or check the clutch. Or in the worst case, if you want to spend money, then do the modification on the gearbox.
I think the only modification I should put is a turbo.
Yeah, maybe if you want it to go faster.
If I can ask, look, I was thinking it gets cold in the morning, but once you start driving it and during the day, then it's like normal, you know.
Here I explain, when metallic objects in the vehicle, when it's cold, it actually shrinks.
Oh,
when it gets hot, it expands. And most of the things, when they warm up, they're easier to move into, you understand?
That makes sense.
Like when tires warm up, they're easier to grab the road. So colder tires don't grab the road as good as warmer tires. So basically, in the gearbox, is the same thing. So that's what I'm saying. If your gearbox oil is low, then you're going to have the same problem.
Now it makes sense.
If your clutch is warm, you're going to have the same problem.
See,
so when the car warms up, the thing will expand, you see. So it's a sign that the clutch is wearing out or the gearbox oil is low. So check those two things and that your problem should be solved. You got the car from new or you just bought the car?
No, I got it for a while. Like,
and you always have this problem, only recently you have been the problem.
No, only recently since it started.
That's what I'm saying. If you have it recently and your clutch is wearing out, the oil is low in the gearbox and your problem is solved.
Yeah, inshallah. I have to do it, inshallah.
Okay, can I
my brother.
Suggestion, Nibai? Instead of just checking the level, I would suggest just, if you haven't had the oil replaced since you got the car, just replace the oil and make sure you put the correct oil in there, and inshallah, thereafter, what other brother Adil says, you know, maybe clutch also, you know.
Yeah, the gearbox oil, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, my brother. Jazakallah. Any other question you have?
Allah, make it easy for Ramadan, for all of us.
Ameen, inshallah. Okay, my brother. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 22 minutes to 9 o'clock. We are calling us on the number, inshallah, 011-854-1548. Brother Salim is the engineer. And the WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548. And also 082-580-8070. About 12 minutes remaining before we terminate the program. And it's time for the weekend. Cheap.
If I could just come in again here.
Yeah?
The Opel Corsa we were talking about earlier on.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've all seen in the news that GMSA is leaving South Africa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, currently, immediately, there won't be major effects as far as what I've heard and read from them. You know, there will be, they've got roughly about 124 dealerships in the country, and we will be losing roughly about 34 of them because Isuzu is taking over.
Yeah, Isuzu is taking over,
the commercial side of it. So, you know, it's a fantastic vehicle. It's been a good seller. It's a popular vehicle. I'm sure somewhere someone's going to come along and rescue the whole issue.
Okay. Another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Line number 3, we have a call. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I have a Mercedes Benz.
Gee.
Model 2008.
Okay.
Yes.
The driving style, gee.
Steering rack.
Yeah.
It's leaking.
Steering rack is leaking. Okay. All right. Adil, you're the Mercedes Fundi. Adil, what's your take on this? Your answer, Adil?
Yeah, the steering rack is leaking. Also, we've got two options. You can have the steering rack repaired. You can put a used one, or you can buy a new one.
My brother, can you put the phone down? Adil will respond.
There's nothing else you can advise.
Okay, uncle.
The steering rack is leaking. It has to be replaced, repaired, or renewed. That's the only option you've got on that car, motor. Nothing else you can do. I never... very rarely come across a 204 steering leg leaking, but a 2008, is it a C-class or an E-class?
Okay, the brother put down, I think, Adil.
You must have the brother listening on air, the only solution to his problem is either repair, replace, or renew. That's the only thing he can do. There's not much you can do on a steering leg, motor.
Alright. What's it going to cost him, Adil? What's it going to cost him, just in estimation, to repair?
The repair should set him back maybe between 4,500 to 7,000 almost. Used one can set him back also about around the same price. The new one is expensive. I think over 30,000 for the new one.
Can I correct the price, brother Adil? I just did one last week in the week. 41,000 rand for a steering wheel.
Only gone up, yeah.
41,000 rand.
41,000 rand.
And normally don't replace them. I've always repaired them, so I won't know the price of the new one.
Don't say the price too large. It's not Tata's hard stop, say. 40.
No, I just, because the customer said maybe, you know, if it's a couple of hundred rand difference, we might as well put a new one. We managed to get a good second-hand one for, I think it was about 5,500 rand.
Mm-hmm.
But for interest sake, we just phoned the dealership and it was 41,000 rand for a new one on a W204.
Okay. So, uncle, are you there? If you're listening, inshallah, like Brother Adil saying, it's going to cost you plus, minus 6,000-7,000 rand to have it repaired. To buy it new, really, it's going to cost you a packet. Allah make it easy, inshallah. We have another call, line number two. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Alaikum salam alana.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Malana, I just want to find out Toyota Corolla 2002, the crystal light.
Yeah.
What can you pay for it? The mileage is 150,000.
150,000. You want to buy one?
Yes.
What's it? 140, 160?
They came in 160. Yeah, 2002. Gee, they came in 160 eyes. The crystal lights. How much you asking, my brother? How much you want?
They're looking at about 45, 50, 68.
68,000 rands for a crystal light. I'll say it's
a bit up,
I don't know. My brother, you asking me? I'll say it's too much. Abdul Haq Adil.
Simon, it sounds a bit high on the crystal light, eh?
Definitely.
Because those you can get them relatively good at about between 45 and 50.
I think you've got to pay about 55 for it. Give and take, yeah. Maximum 60, I'd say, inshallah. But make mashallah with some other people, see what they have to say.
Well, the crystal light is the whole value, so that's why they're asking so high.
Gee.
And the mileage is right, that's why they're asking at price. So
the mileage is 150, what did they say? How much you want? 68, eh?
68, yeah. I think about 60 should be a fair price, Musa, because they are highly priced, they're very in demand, those cars, and they all value it.
Yeah, say 60, inshallah. 60 will be okay.
60 should be fair.
60 should be fair, Jay, jazakallah. 18 minutes to 9 o'clock, G. Number to call 011-854-1548. The SMS is 0825-808070 and also 072-786-1548. That is the WhatsApp number. A brother or sister sends us SMS. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah for the advice given regarding my Ford. Alhamdulillah, it is 100% fixed. MashaAllah, Jazakallah, happy to hear that. Two SMSs coming through. It says, Jazakallah, really appreciate. It's 100% fixed. Jazakallah for the call, for the SMS. I don't know when you guys gave advice regarding this, but Alhamdulillah, it is sorted out.
Alhamdulillah.
Line number one, have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hello.
Ji.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
I just spoke just now about the Honda 1.6.
Yeah.
It's automatic.
It's an automatic.
Gee, and here on the radio, head listen, you know, the gear, when you put you know, the gear, it's four-speed gearbox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, automatic, eh?
Gee, and you put it on fourth gear all the time, or it's four, three, two, and one.
You drive it in D, Uncle.
Gee?
You always drive it in D.
You
drive that kind D.
No, but it's written one, and four, five... 4, 3, 2, 1. The one is right at the bottom. The four. The light comes on gear four.
Yeah, you put it in D. You'll get park. You'll get neutral. You'll get reverse. You get reverse, neutral, park, reverse, park, neutral, reverse, and you'll get D. You drive it in D.
No, but it hasn't got D. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4.
We haven't got D, then drive it in 4.
And then you should have what we call a override switch.
Override
switch.
It must have D. It's a 1999 model, the same one you talked to us about earlier.
GG. Just got a green light on a dash.
G. Yeah, so the green light, there must be a D, the uncle.
There's no D. There's really park, neutral, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Maybe it's got F. Uncle is flying, you know, it doesn't have D.
I've never seen one
with the 4, but what happens is, I think possibility exists, there's something to do with an import, yeah?
It must be an import.
Yeah, I think it's an import.
What happens there is you might have what we call an overdrive switch on the lever itself.
So which button should I use?
You leave it on 4.
Leave it on 4.
When you're driving around town.
Gee.
When you leave town, you press the overdrive switch on the highway, and that will put you into your fifth gear.
Put it on 3.
No, you leave it there in 4, and on the gear lever itself,
yeah,
you will find a switch which says OD.
No, it hasn't got OD. I know what you're talking about. Overdrive, it's just on a Toyota's.
Uncle, where about are you in Joburg?
I'm in Joburg, yeah.
Where about in Joburg?
In town.
In town.
Alright, leave your number with our engineer, Brother Salim, inshallah.
Yeah,
we'll give you like Adil's number or Abdul Haq's number, inshallah. Maybe check the card to them.
I need the old macro.
No, that's Brother Adil.
Yeah. Adil, if I can come and show it to you on my
Yeah,
day.
Go there, inshallah.
No problem, uncle. You can come around and let me advise you.
No,
who's
speaking? The uncle with a blue Mercedes.
Oh, same uncle. The Marshall Uncle came to also got a very clean Mercedes. Yeah, he was there by me as well.
Yeah, mashallah. Good clean car, mashallah.
See. All right, jazakallah, uncle.
I'll hear on the radio, ne?
Inshallah, okay. Jazakallah, dua. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Gee, another SMS coming through. Let's take this one. The brother sent it some time ago. Please advise on the BMW 3 Series, 320i or the 325i E90. Are they good cars when buying, used, and also how is maintenance? Jazakallah. Regarding the E90s, Adil? Some people have mentioned that they have a problem, and that is overheating problems. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a 320i also.
Gee. He wants advice on 320 as well.
Are but problematic when they reach out reaching higher mileage. Overheating also is a problem. They need to be bred properly. So I think if the car could have high mileage, rather stay away from it. The lower mileage of the cars are excellent cars. They're reliable. They're very economical on fuel. But the only issue I heard from a BMW mechanic is that when those engines go above 180 to 200,000, the engines are problematic. So I think the mileage is higher, rather stay away.
Okay, all right. Adil, if in case Allah say Allah forbid, regarding it, the car, if it overheats, a 320i, what would it put the person back?
Oof. It depends how badly it overheats. If it badly overheats, then you have to replace the engine because it will be costly either to repair the engine. But the way guys are going now, they don't even repair in those engines, they buy the used one from the scrapyard and put him in the car. So it depends how badly. If it's not badly overheated, then you only have to do a 7-day job, then you're looking between 10 to 15,000. That's what they normally go for. I don't know, maybe it just depends on what quality parts you use in the vehicle also. But if it's overheated badly, not a good time also. Rather, you have to repair the engine or replace the engine. It can be costly. I mean, a new replacement engine for those cars, I think, in the region between 70,000 and 80,000, I don't think they're even available anymore.
Rather use that money to get married again.
Another car.
See, Abdul Haq question, it says, Assalamu alaikum, I have a 1992 BMW 320i leaking water, but don't know where it can be. Where can it be the water bottle? Jazakallah.
Whether it can be the bottle?
Yeah, possibly.
It's very, very possible on those vehicles because the we refer to it as an expansion bottle. The expansion bottle is actually attached to the radiator when you're standing in the vehicle on the right-hand side. But obviously the easier way, more or less, to see it is if it's a visible leak, you know, when you start the vehicle up with the bonnet open or with the vehicle standing somewhere, you'll see more or less where it is leaking. If it's more towards the middle, then most of the time it's from the water pump itself. If it's standing in front of the vehicle on your right-hand side, then the possibility exists that it could be from the expansion bottle or even the radiator itself could be leaking. The other thing, a lot of these BMWs I can say almost all of the BMWs now, they have, almost all the newer vehicles have what we call a water junctions and water connections that are made of plastic. And some of them tend to wither away, and with the result, yes, you do pick up a water leak on those junctions as well. What I would suggest is if you're losing water regularly and a lot of water, then, you know, go and have a pressure test done and make sure you sort that leak out. Otherwise, you will be doing an engine on a BMW.
All right. Jazakumullah. Brother wants some advice regarding the new Amaroks. Adil?
Jimosa, the new Amarok, we didn't get much leverage on it yet. I did see a few snapshots on it. It's a nice vehicle, Mosa. They proved themselves well when they launched the first one in our country, I think a couple of years ago. They're quite popular on the road. They're nice, strong buckies. They made their debut in our country and they took off well. And the new one has got the new improved VW engines in them.
and the bodywork has been improved, the suspension also has been improved, and more driving more comfortable than even becoming more closer to motor vehicles actually. So the bucky market in our country must not be strong. We just talked the other day that Isuzu in our country for over 8 years, you know, looking at the first Isuzu bucky when you just came, I don't think we can remember them, a solid bucky, you know, still they make good buckies. The Amarok, coming back to the Amarok, not a bad bucky, you know, it just depends on individual taste. I mean, you know, the three main ones are the Isuzu, the Toyota Hilux, and the Ford Ranger, and the Mazda B2B, and Amarok also comes in among the five. So those are individual opinions. You know, if you take to the Amarok, you go from, they all build on the same chassis, or as I think, and they all do the same job. It's just the look and the appearance and the affordability of the vehicle. I mean, they're not very cheap also, these buckies, you know, to cost you as much as a car. If you're a bucky lover and you love to drive buckies, and go for the one you choose will be preferable to you. I mean, it's an individual taste, like, you know, buying a motor car, BMW, Mercedes, Audi, that's the way to go. I really don't have much knowledge on Amarok, so I really can't give you my personal opinion. I didn't get an opportunity to drive one, but my personal opinion is that I have a cold bucky and I really enjoy it, and I love driving my cold bucky, so I can't tell anybody. When someone will come to me and tell me, no, but we don't love a cold bucky, we love Hilux bucky, and you get into an argument about buckies and things like that. So it's a personal opinion, most of
them. Fadil, Jazakallah for the lovely program, my brother. Abdul Haq, Jazakallah. Concluding remarks, let's start with Adil. Adil, Jazakallah once again for your time, my brother. You know, your dedication.
Just a quick one, Mosab. You know, before, about 2 weeks ago, you mentioned that we won a competition and we were going overseas. It wasn't actually we won a competition, Mosab. It was a training course. Let's not quickly, each time, just to highlight the listeners quickly. It was actually a training course on to improve the electronics on motor cars. So basically what's happened in modern day cars, let's put it in a nutshell. We spoke earlier on our show about, you know, parts that are more valuable than what the car is valued at. So for example, if you have a Mercedes or you have any other car that has an ECU in the vehicle and your ECU fails, basically if you want to buy an ECU, the ECU is priced more than what the vehicle is worth. So for example, if your vehicle is worth 20,000 rand, the ECU is going to cost you 30,000 rand. So that's what puts most people off, and most people can't even afford the car, and the car is lazy and gets rotten. So basically this was a cause to introduce a tool that can actually, and the other setting is if you go and buy a used one from a scrapyard, it can't be inputted into the car because that part comes married to that car. So you can't take one and put it into another car. So in all modern day cars, they've made the point that, I don't know why, but to keep the cars in-house or not to sell, or for security reasons. So basically apart from one car, not to take it and put it into another car. So what they've developed a tool that you can remove the part from the car and you can decode it and encode it to the car and refit into the car, and you can save the customer, whoever is buying a car, a lot of money, so they can basically buy a used part and you can code it to the car and put it to a car. So basically the part costs you over 30,000 rand, you can buy one from the scrapyard for a couple of thousand rand and have it coded for a couple hundred rand and put it into the car, and the car can be reused again at a fraction of the cost. So basically in a nutshell, that is how it is out there for people improving and making life easier for people to afford vehicles for which we could not afford from the dealership or from motor manufacturers at exorbitant prices that are attached to these parts.
Okay, lovely. Jazakallah, interesting. Adil, Jazakallah once again, my brother, and we talk again soon. All the best and Ramadan Mubarak to you and the family.
Jazakallah, Mosab, and you too, and to all our listeners.
Jazakallah, my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu
alaikum. Abdul Haq G, my brother, concluding remarks.
Jazakumullah, Mawlana. Jazakumullah khairan to Radio Islam. Jazakumullah khairan to all our listeners out there. Alhamdulillah, it has been a wonderful period. We've really enjoyed assisting, and Alhamdulillah, it is such a satisfied feeling that Alhamdulillah people are getting helped, assisted, and they are winning with their problems out there. So yeah, Jazakumullah khairan from us, and Ramadan Mubarak to the entire Ummah inshallah, and may Allah Ta'ala let us have a blessed Ramadan and accept our ibadah inshallah and give us more sincerity inshallah, and Jazakumullah khairan inshallah. We will talk after Ramadan.
Ameen inshallah. All the best of the Hajj. Jazakallah once again. Ameen. And a request for du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, we terminate the Revitav Car program. This is possibly the last program before the month of Ramadan, inshallah, Allah willing. If you are alive, Brother Salim, inshallah, will continue after the month of Ramadan. And yes, we conclude tonight's program from Mr. Muhammad Kara and Brother Salim. Have a lovely weekend. Request for du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.